Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, everybody's here. It's the old-fashioned Student of the Game party, as we like to have it. Chris is here with us, ready to talk some play awesome football, and hey, we get to talk a little about Sexy Rexy. That's always some silliness, right, Chris?
I mean, exactly.
We still have cardboard Coach Rex around here somewhere. I don't know where he went, but we better at least change his colors. And, of course, the man who's with me as always, Weasel Weas!
Yeah, boy!
Stephen Weasel Hurley there, giving me the elongated lag. I kind of like that. That was a nice touch. I dug that. Anyways, of course, you are hearing us once again here on NGSC Sports. Follow us on Twitter at NGSC Sports. Of course, the website www.ngscsports.com, where very soon this week you will be seeing my matchup mania that I post weekly there on Wednesday nights. But, gentlemen, I know we focus a lot on the NFL here. That's kind of what we do. I mean, kind of. That is what we do. But G. Steelio, one of our writers and esteemed colleagues at NGSC Sports, put up a preview for the national championship. I mean, he put it up last week because, you know, it was going to be a while before they played, and, you know, something college needed to happen between then and now. But I say all that to say this. Who you got? Guys, I got to be clear. First of all you people who said the BSC was good, and no, I switched those names on purpose, I think the college football playoff did its job. Chris, you on that boat?
It's a good start to doing the job, yes.
It's a start. Well,
it's better you got four teams out there, and if I mean you look at it, technically 1 and 2 lost during the playoffs. So, I mean, the way you see it, I mean, yeah, they had Oregon number two and not Florida State 3, but
well, this is, you know, I think Florida State proved why they were number 3 right last week. We got Weasel.
I think the problem with it was that because Florida State without the regards to the playoffs,
yes,
they didn't. They were undefeated, right?
They were.
Now, the thing I have a problem with is that you have these top four teams.
We do.
One of them went undefeated, and the undefeated team should be in it. And you have about, what is it, 15, 20 teams that lost one game.
Okay.
How do you narrow it down to which team to pick? Who do you think is the best?
Strength of schedule.
Correct. Yeah. Strength of schedule, precisely. You know, Florida State went undefeated, but really had all but lost 4 times to weak teams. That's why they got third. I mean, you know, let's call that what it is. Look, I know I'm going to piss off a lot of FSU fans, but third place was not only where FSU belonged, in my opinion, it's also the place they wanted to be, right? Because think about it. You're a team that's trying to tell me how great you are just because you're undefeated and I don't believe you. How do you prove that? You beat the top of the heap. They couldn't even do it. They couldn't even get past the first round. How good were they really playing football in what's really a basketball conference first and foremost, Chris?
Right. No, with the playoff in there, I mean, they had the playoff on New Year's Day.
Yes.
And then 10
Which
days later.
Awesome.
Yeah, right. 10 days later, they have it as, you know, for the championship like they always do, the Monday after or whatever.
That needs to be fixed.
Well, but what they need to do is really move up that semifinal game up to start off the bowl season. Have that as the first game, like the Saturday before the bowl season starts. Have those two games just as those headlines to start the bowl season. Give the other teams, then you can even move up the national championship up to just the Monday after New Year's Day instead of 10 days afterwards.
Yeah, and from the sake of just that game, I hear where you're going, .. But, you know, you're forgetting all the numerous uber ridiculous bowls that are out there. And, I mean, not to mention
60s. You know, or 68 teams go to it, so there's like 34 bowl games.
Entirely too many is the point, right? I mean, look, you know, I know we at NGSC Sports made it to 3 of them this year. Boom. But by the same token, I mean, you know, they're not going to move up the national championship just because that. Not to mention, I don't know about you all cats, but that New Year's Day game, those New Year's Day games, really, we've never had conference championship a Saturday. Now, granted, technically it was on a Thursday, but don't mess with me on that, Weasel. I know what day it was. What day is it? I know what day it was. But, and I know that New Year's was on a Thursday, but for conference championship, in quotes, Saturday. Look, if the NFL can have Thursday night football on Saturday, I can say Thursday is Saturday for college and conference championship Saturday. I think that's fair. No, but That's the kind of feeling you got in a college game that we normally get in the NFL when we have two good conference championship Sunday bowls, right? However, the poll is there, or the committee is there to see to it that we always will have those games where the best two teams are playing. Like, let's say, for example, the Panthers made it a conference championship Sunday. We didn't think they were going to in the first place, so we're not ruining this. This isn't a spoiler alert, okay? But so that would mean you would have a team with a losing record in conference championship Sunday. Nobody wants to watch that. But the way it went with Ohio State and Alabama, that game got plenty of hype, and you know, that was awesome. And then FSU and Oregon, you didn't need to hype that. Anybody who was a college football fan was going to make that happen. But basically, when it comes to this national championship, the way we got it, the Big Ten needed the help of the SEC to get in, thanks to Urban Meyer. See, I know I pissed off a lot of Big Ten fans when I said that, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, just start the bowl season off with the games, because you're taking away from all the other bowl games. Some of the other good games are on New Year's Day. I mean, there's some good games on that day. There's a few games that were going on. Even actually, there was more smaller bowl games that were more exciting than some of the big bowl games.
Well, they were the undercard. Well, you mean competitive. Yeah, I got you.
Right. Well, competitive-wise.
They were kind of like the undercard to the big fight, though, because, I mean, those games didn't even start until 5 p.m. I mean, you could make a day of it, right?
Right. And that's what I was saying. If you move the semi-playoffs to the Saturday before the bowls start, you just have those two games as for that day, like – Army-Navy have their own game. No one else plays on the Army-Navy game now. You know, they have it the last week after the conference championships. They play the week after, and it's only that game. It's the headline there early. So if you have it the Saturday before, it splits up so you don't have the national championship. I mean, we're going it 11 days after New Year's Day,
well,
technically. Or,
oh, yeah,
you know.
No, so you're right.
They always had it always the Monday after New Year's. So, I mean, you can still have it the Monday after New Year's, which is fine, but just –
well.
It just splits it up because you have these two teams. They have a month to study the one opponent for New Year's Day, and then they have 10 days for the other one. If you split it up a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just think it would be a good way to kick off the bowl season, get more people excited about the bowl season, because you look at some of those early games, and no one even knows. They're like, oh, yeah, the bowl's started. Like,
well,
oh wow, look at this.
Hold on. How is that any different than usual? Are you looking for the Poinsettia Bowl? The only reason why I know when the bowl season started is because we happen to send some writers out. Other than that, I got nothing. I'll grant, I'm a casual football fan in college at best. It's my second language. But by the same token, I don't think the Detroit Motor City Bowl is getting that kind of draw to warrant that. I don't know. However, I say that, but I think you got a point with this concept. Is like you move that to open the bowl season, it would be kind of like they do in NASCAR, starting that. The NASCAR starts with the Daytona 500. Now, granted, those aren't going to be the biggest games of the year, but they're going to be a big event to kick off the season. Maybe that could lead some momentum into other bowl games that are playing. I could see that, right. That defense, but I see it. I just don't.
I
don't know. It's interesting.
You know,
it's interesting.
Even if they're talking about expanding it to 8 teams or whatever.
Oh, yeah, and they were going
and
to do
so
that.
And so if you're going to do that, then you're going to have to move the games up anyway.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
if it's just...
I don't know. Well, if they do that, you're going to get that same thing as the undercard will be an exhibition between two other teams that are big name, and then you'll get the playoff games that matter probably.
All right. Well, so. Yeah, and then there's some bowl games like the Clemson-Oklahoma game. You thought it was going to be a great game. It was if you're a Clemson fan, but if you're a football fan, it was, you know, it was all one sided. I mean, it was a 42-6.
Actually, Clemson
like
fans were pissed too. They were all like, "Why couldn't you do that against Florida State?" I don't know. See, Weasel, this is radio, so not TV. Even Weasel gave a smug little half smile. There you go. Anyways, quickly we'll go through it. It's the Oregon Ducks. It's the Ohio State Buckeyes. Chris, who you got?
Oh man, I've always liked Oregon. I like the fast-paced Oregon.
Yeah.
Ohio State, they're more well-rounded. They got some speed up there now. Their Urban Meyer always goes for speed.
Yep.
You know, when that was the problem with Ohio State there a while ago, is they didn't have any speed.
Yep.
Before to compete with these Florida teams. Oregon's fast, but Ohio State's got speed. I still think I'm leaning towards Oregon. I got Oregon.
Weasel.
also go with the Ducks. I'm going to most likely pin it on for the offense for the Ducks because they're pretty impressive, and so we shall see.
Versatile, to say the least, with Mariota at the helm, absolutely. It's going to be close. I mean, I think we've established that. I called on some other appearances where I was talking about it. I called that Alabama and Ohio State would be close, and then Blake Sims threw a few too many interceptions to basically lose it for the Crimson Tide. Or the damned tide now, because you see it's tied and it's what in the dance. Shut up. Anyway, so long story short, Oregon will just barely squeak by in a game that'll be closer than people think.
It'll be a shootout still too. It's like there'll be like 30 something per team scored.
Oh, you think it's gonna be that high?
Yeah, it's gonna be that high. It's it's gonna be a score.
Okay,
but I mean, really,
over,
I mean,
over under 70.
I'd say over 70.
Okay, fair enough.
So, but I mean, if you look at Ohio State, the only reason why they're on their third string quarterback, who's played two important games. That's all he started so far: the Big Ten championship and then the semi playoff. And then you're looking at next year. They're talking about he's a redshirt sophomore. He should probably just turn pro because he's not going to go to Florida. He's not going to start at Ohio State anymore. Because the other two quarterbacks are coming back that are starting before him.
So what?
So look at your resume. You go to NFL teams. Well, how many games you start? Three. Okay. I started Big Ten championship. I started in semifinal. And if they win the national championship,
you can't say I'm not clutch.
Right.
I don't know. Anyways, so there it is for you all the way around. The student of the game panel picks Oregon to be your national champion. Yeah, and I think the playoff system got it right in its first year. Maybe you didn't like the top four teams in the order they were in, but I think we definitely got the top four teams in the country. And for those of you in the Big 12 that don't like it, get a conference championship and leave me alone. Next question. So with that, let's head to our bread and butter, the NFL. Very interesting stuff going on in the coaching works, gentlemen. Want to lead off, and Weasel, this is going to go in your wheelhouse because I think you first told me about it. Dick LeBeau opts to resign as a defensive coordinator for the Steelers. Now, this guy has been there for an extended period of time. I mean, this is the kind of time that Joe Paterno spent at Penn State before he departed. I mean, decades, like four decades or something stupid, right? I don't know. Weasel, as a Steeler fan, at least on occasion, what does that do for you? What's the reaction?
Well, for the thing about Dick LeBeau is that they always ran the 3-4 defense,
right?
And he's like, you know, one of the best defensive minds out there. I think it's just the Steelers. I don't think it was nothing like a fire or anything. It's
right.
I don't know if he wants to take a little break, but he said I think that he, you know, he's not going to quit coaching. He'll be back, but I don't know when. But, I mean, he's been, like, through – he got, like, two Super Bowls with the Steelers. And always you've heard get even – this year they lost, you know, some, like, veterans and stuff like that. So it's a younger team. But before, he had always, like, the solid defense that's a number one, top five type thing.
Well, and let's be clear. Throughout his tenure, they would continue to have new cores and classes of guys. For every Larry Foote and James Ferrier, there would soon be following a Lawrence Timmons or a James Harrison, that kind of thing, right? I mean, it's funny. You'll see guys in year 15 of their careers go on to other squads as former Steelers, and even in their quote-unquote twilight, still be better than a lot of guys who are, you know, quote-unquote prime, right?
One of the decisions that Mike Tomlin had to make when he came into with the Steelers is that which defense to instill, because he came from Minnesota and I think he had some ties to like Tampa Bay and stuff.
Sure.
Which is then you would have the cover two or the Tampa two, and the Steelers, you know, they
not
got,
so much.
They got this guy Dick LeBeau that's you know the defensive coordinator. They play a 3-4, so Tomlin could have, you know, let him go, picked a guy that can play, you know, do his kind of defense, but he of course made the right choice because the years he's been there, it's their defense has been at times very dominating.
They still ain't bad now. I mean, if it weren't for the fact that they're missing key pieces, I don't feel like it's a situation where they did bad on defense versus the Ravens per se. I felt like it was more offensive shortcomings myself.
If he comes back to the NFL, one team that I was thinking is a possibility, but Rex Ryan, we'll discuss a little bit about him going to the Bills.
Well, let's use that as a segue.
So the Bills, pretty much 3-4. They play a 3-4 or no?
The Bills, no, they've been playing a 4-3 lately. Okay. But under like Rex Ryan, they will go to a 3-4 because that's what Rex Ryan runs.
Interesting.
I don't think it's that. I think it's another team that he'll be leaning towards, and that's Arizona Cardinals.
Well, the dude is 77 years old. A lot of retired people move
right,
to Arizona.
But I mean, you also got to look at the defense coordinator for Arizona is Todd Bowles.
Oh.
He's on the top of a lot of coaching searches right now.
That's true.
So Arians has already contacted Dick LeBeau because they worked together in Pittsburgh anyway before. So he's already talked about him coming over there because he knows he's going to have an open defense coordinator position because – Yeah.
So Bruce
Bowles
Arians
is going
goes to
somewhere.
Him. Let's get the band back together. And
right. I mean, you go in there with that defense already. You don't have to start over.
I can't front on that. So as Weasel hinted, though, Gus Marone feeling like he was too good for the Bills.
Doug.
Or I said Gus. I get Gus Malzahn and Dick Marone mixed up. Don't ask
Doug,
me why.
Doug Marone. Yeah. You just said Dick Marone.
Did I really?
Yes.
God. Okay.
Doug.
We're just talking about Dick LeBeau. So.
Marone. Yeah. Dick LeBeau. This is your fault. Yeah. Doug Marone. Thank you. At any rate, this is how good a job he did and how much of an impact it made on me. I can't get the guy's effing name right. That's it. No, but in seriousness, so he thinks he's this gift to coaching and opts out of his Bills contract. Because he made the awesome decision to start a guy at quarterback that was beaten out by both Rex Grossman and Tim Tebow. And by the way, Matt Castle as well, just saying. But then Buffalo brings in Rex Ryan. Now, I could understand it if the Jets were a dominant team like they were a number of years back when Rex Ryan first got to New York, that you're getting Rex Ryan to coach against and figure out the Jets. Why? And I don't get why either team did this. Because if you get Rex Ryan and you're the Bills, you stay the same team, right? You don't change at all. What would be different with Rex there?
So the only thing is Doug Marone was more of an offensive-minded coach than a defensive-minded coach. Huh. When he was over at Syracuse beforehand.
Wow. And so, he's doing a great job.
Right, yeah, I know. That's what's shocking about it. But then you get Rex Ryan over there, which is shocking go there. I mean, he's given a defense that I don't even think they have that many contracts on the defensive side that's given up. There's reports Doug Marone doesn't like how management was going. That's why he opted out of his contract because of last year when they traded up to get Sammy Watkins. So they don't have a first round pick this year.
Well, and Watkins is their best guy on offense.
Right.
I mean,
so they don't have a first round pick this year. That's what they gave up to move up into to get Sammy Watkins. So there's still a quarterback issue. Rex Ryan still has a quarterback issue there than he does in New York. But then like early reports last week were saying that Doug Marone was like a front runner for the Jets job too. So I'm like, what are you talking about? Head coaches just switching jobs, basically.
Why don't they just trade straight up? I mean, granted, the Jets wouldn't got rid of Ipswich, but I don't know. Anyway, and that's the general manager, by the way, Ipswich, that used to be in the New York Jets, by the way. But I'll say this. This is the only thing I could come up with. Follow me here, guys, because I have to reach a little bit. Think back to the teams that were successful under Rex Ryan with the Jets, where they were one game away from the Super Bowl twice in a row. Wow, when you put it like that, that's pretty lofty, huh? What did they have? Excellent defense. Bart Scott's speech. Can't wait. Great defense that year. This is a good football team. What else did they have?
A running game,
not to mention a very stout offensive line, I think you'll agree. Okay. What didn't they have?
A quarterback.
Say quarterback. Thank you very much. Mark Sanchez has proven that he ain't the guy. In more than one place that wears green, ironically enough. However, if there's somebody who's going to make something out of a team with good ground game on offense and a good defense all the way around, it would be Rex Ryan. History has shown us this. What do the Bills have? Pretty damn good defense.
Yeah. They're one of the top defenses this year.
Okay. I'll agree with that. But very underrated offensive line. Certainly top 10, if not better. Right? Runners. Dude. C.J. Spiller, Fred Jack, and then Anthony Dixon. If Anthony Dixon's your third option, you're looking pretty snappy right there. Right? Now, granted, they also have a crappy quarterback, but hey, have no quarterback. Have running game will travel. This is what we've seen with Rex Ryan. I think... And if anybody thinks I'm nuts, I think this correlation has been made, which is what led them to going with Rex Ryan. Now, why Rex Ryan took it, I just can't help you.
Yeah, that was a shocker, too, because you thought he was going to be at – I thought he was going to be over in Atlanta because I mean, he met with 6 hours with Atlanta with his interview.
They go there, they and build talking a defense, about, they have Matt Ryan in an offense. He doesn't have to do anything, really.
And then, you know, there's also reports with him going to bring Mark Trestman in as his offensive coordinator down there in Atlanta. And now up there in Buffalo, he's talking about the Niners offensive coordinator.
Well.
Coming there. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I'd rather still probably maybe go with Trestman a little bit.
I won't touch that right yet, but I'll say this about that. You need – well, first of all, actually, I will say this. If you're going to go with Mike Adams – as the OC, it makes sense because what do they run in San Fran? Ground and pound. I mean, basically, if you have a fullback, you know, it's going to work. I don't know. But
that's one of the positions the Bills are really are hurting there. Quarterback and fullback. Because who is their fullback? Yeah, exactly.
I know Anthony Dixon can double as that sometimes. But or they could just do like the Bucks used to do with Allstott and Dunn and kind of use Fred Jack and Spiller as a poor man's version of that dual backfield. I don't know. It's an interesting concept. So I don't know. I don't know that I'd call Fred Jackson a fullback, but I would argue he's the closest thing they got. Maybe. I don't know. It's not like I'm scanning their roster for fullback potential. Anyways. So lastly, and something I just found out about before I doing prep for the show today, the Denver Broncos and head coach John Fox reach a, quote, mutual agreement to part ways. First of all, what is this pansy crap? Can't we just fire anybody anymore? Or can't we just quit? I mean, come on. Mutual agreement. Okay, stop it. This is... Anyways. So, I gotta give my immediate reaction here. I can now officially announce that the Niners aren't the stupidest front office on the planet. How do you fire a John Fox? Are you crazy? What, was Sunday his fault? I don't know, Chris.
Yeah, I don't understand. He's been there 4 years. He's been in the playoffs all 4 years. Mm-hmm. Went to the playoffs with Tebow. Won the game against the Steelers.
Yeah.
That year, you know, got blown out.
Look what you did.
Yeah, oh, no.
That's your fault.
But then, you know, they get blown out by the Patriots the week after that year. Then, you know, they made it the conference championship or made it
the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, hold on.
Conference championship, then the Super Bowl, isn't it?
Right. They won with Tebow, yeah. Fox's first year there.
Right.
Okay. The next year they get Peyton Manning the first time. They lose to the Ravens in their first playoff game. Ravens go on to conference championship Sunday. Dennis Pittick gets mugged. Lee Evans drops the pass, and then Cundiff shanks the kick to send the Patriots to the Super Bowl. Where they eventually lose to the Giants, I believe.
All right.
Then, or no.
Yeah, that was the first year.
That's the year the Ravens won. And, yeah.
No, that was the year the Patriots, the year after when the – that was the year Tebow was there, got blown out by the Patriots.
Right.
The week after was the Lee Evans.
The year after is where the Ravens won, go to the Super Bowl, beat the 49ers.
Right.
Okay. Then, last year was the Super Bowl. And that happened because their O-line was trash. And now, I don't know how you get rid of Fox. I don't. Even if he was unhappy, I don't know what you're doing there.
You kind of see it similar to that of the Jaguars with Tom Coughlin?
I do. Actually, in that case, that's even worse.
Actually, it's more like, yeah, that and then also like the Bucks with Dungy.
That's a better.
That's you know he's made it to the playoffs all those years and then lost in the first round. Dungy.
Well,
but he always made it to the playoffs.
I think the next coach just wanted to make sure that he builds a team, and then you got Gruden coming in and just saying with all this talent and saying, "Oh, we'll win the Super Bowl this year."
Yeah, so,
because Dungy built that team and he gave them, you know, that defense was big with him.
And Fox was a big part of this process. I agree with you. It's interesting you mentioned the Coughlin parallel. If I had more time, I'd break that down. That's very interesting. We're probably going to talk about that off the air. I like that. But
that's what the Jags said, the last owner of the Jags, his worst decision he made was getting rid of Coughlin.
He didn't need to tell us. We already knew. Exactly. Hell, I tried to tell him. He just wouldn't listen to me. Anyways, enough about that. So I'm sure it'll come up a little bit more as we talk about the games. But let's go ahead and jump into it. First of all, the opening game of the weekend, the Baltimore Ravens visit the New England Patriots. Weasel, what you got?
The Patriots at home as the number one seed held off the Ravens with a 35-31 victory.
That's a great description. Held off, as in, let's be clear. I went into work today. I work with one of these rabid Patriots fans, and he's like, Patriots won, of course, over there. I'm like, Mike, don't act like you weren't sweating. He changed his countenance real quick from cocky to real. Anyways, continue.
So you have Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco, 28-46, 292 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Oh, not bad.
But he threw 2 picks.
No!
And he was not sacked. You got quarterback for the Patriots, Tom Brady. Who? 33 of...
Who is this guy?
I know, right? 33 of 50, 367 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT, sacked twice.
Right. Well, and actually, sacked only twice is proof that somehow or another, I don't know how it happened exactly, the Patriots improved on their protection this game. Chris.
Yeah. No, it's just... You said 50 complete attempts?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they try to run the ball after the midway through the second quarter.
Oh yeah, the running game was. We'll get there.
Keep in mind, a lot of their quote run game. The Pads have been known to use screens and things of that sort to quote unquote run the football.
And first quarter and second quarter, it's like the Ravens did have a 14-point lead, and
right.
You can see, Brady getting a little bit edgy. But something that was interesting that happened was that 10:56 remaining in the half. On a 3rd and 16, mm-hmm. he was sacked by Promafi.
Hmm? Who?
Exactly. It was an unknown name. I'll look it up.
Well, no, just go ahead, Weasel.
But so the guy sacked him, and he stood over Brady for staring him down type thing. So he got up, and he was yelling directly at him.
Let's be clear. You're skipping a number of things that happened in this place. So let me rescue you here real quick. He got sacked. And then the guy went down and said something to him. He didn't really stand over him as we've gotten Tonti Collins for before. But Brady was running his mouth from the floor, too. Okay? Golden Boy was talking mess as well. Let's be clear. Tom Brady was no victim here. All right? Now, he gets up, continues to get into the face of the same defender. Now, again, neither side in this particular squabble was without sin. But I think it's what happened after that, where Brady was just as much an instigator as this defender that Weasel's trying to draw attention to. And that would be?
Again.
Okay, never mind. So that would be the fact that Tom Brady is shouting down the official after this. I'm talking about there is centimeters of space, if that, between Brady and the official. At the top of his lungs, this is the kind of stuff where he could sing, he could be a lead singer for the song "Let the Bodies Hit Before," that kind of screaming. Okay, no flag, nothing. Yet Harbaugh's on the field. John Harbaugh's on the field to ask a question about a play. He gets flagged for stepping onto the field to ask a question. But because it's Tom Brady, I guess. Anyways, Weasel, continue.
And you have Ravens running back Justin Forsett. He's 24 carries for 129 yards, and to do a redo on my most improved player, I'm going to pick the guy that had 1,266 yards, 8 touchdowns, and I think it was one of the top in the leagues at 5.4 yards per carry. And in previous years, he's played for, four
Texans.
Different teams.
Five other teams in 7 years.
So, but, he had a great year. So, now you got the Patriots. You have Brandon Bolden, Shane Vereen, LeGarrette Blount, combined for 7 rushes for a whopping 14 yards.
That's epic!
Yeah. So you have Ravens wide receiver Torrey Smith, 3 catches for 62 yards. Steve Smith Sr., 3 for 44, highlighted by a 9-yard touchdown catch that he got against Patriots cornerback Darrell Revis.
So not to mention even drawing some PI against Darrell Revis, who had not been flagged previously throughout the season.
Yep, that was first pass interference against the guy. So you got tight end Rob Gronkowski, 7 for 108 and a touchdown. Danny Amendola, 5 for 81 and 2 touchdowns. Then you got wide receiver Julian Edelman, 8 for 74. So you got late in the third quarter, Tom Brady did a backwards pass to Julian Edelman. You had Danny Amendola racing down the left sideline, and Edelman, he was a former college football quarterback.
State. That's right, yes.
Threw a great pass for 51 yards for a touchdown, longest play by a non-quarterback in the playoff history. So, pop quiz. You got Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman.
Right.
He's a former college quarterback, now has one career playoff touchdown pass. Who is the fourth-year quarterback that has made the playoffs in all 4 years of his career, but has managed to only throw for one touchdown?
I mean, you're going after Andy Dalton here. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. I thought for a minute you were going to pull an X reverse pass situation out of your hat, because that pass from Hines Ward to, from Antoine Randolo to Hines Ward, I guess it wasn't 51 43 yards. 43? Okay, yeah, I know you know.
The Steeler one was 43 yards. This was for 51. So
boom, there you go.
You have the Ravens. They were 1 of 9 on third down, but they kind of had some guts throughout the game. They were 3 on 3 on fourth down. So
right.
For the inning, you got 5:21 remaining. Patriots took a 35-31 lead with a 23-yard touchdown to Brandon LaFell. The Ravens, needing a touchdown, got 4 first downs, one of which was from a 4th and 3 at their own 42. So on a 2nd and 5 at the Patriots' 36-yard line, Flacco threw an interception in the end zone. Patriots nailed on 3 plays, but then punted away with 14 seconds left. And Ravens couldn't do anything about it, so Patriots move on.
Yeah, and you know, I like that you cited that 1-9, Weasel, because it sucks, really. I mean, I was getting it from all sides. Can I be clear? From a personal note on Saturday night. All the Flacco fans were haranguing the ever-loving expletive deleted out of me on Twitter, trying to tell me about, oh, look, Flacco's so amazing. Then he throws the 2 picks, and I walk into a party I'm supposed to go to that night. Weasel, you were there. You didn't see this part, though. I walk in, and the student of the game IT guy slash singing presence on the Real Men of Awesome videos, Blake Cashman, tells me, see, I told you the Pats would win. Hey, shut up! I believed in Flacco, damn it. I don't want to hear this. No, I see you smiling. Wait until the study.
I was just talking when you were talking about with the interceptions and everything. I just saw a friend on Facebook that's a Ravens fan, and they're like, we paid Flacco all this money to throw interceptions.
We've been saying that for 2 years, bro.
Right, I know. That's right. I just thought it was a girl. It was a girl.
I just thought it was funny.
I just thought it was funny, though. I'm like, I actually broke it down how much money it was one game.
That's right. Well, I'll go look for it. We'll send her the recording.
It's like 5,300 or something like that.
Jesus Lord. I know it was more than 5,000. I don't know. I mean, see, for me, I think that an element of this to me was coaching as well. And I mean, I don't normally go out calling out somebody named Harbaugh when it comes to coaching. But I think a lot of this came down to singular plays that were stupid versus creative. And the example I give, particularly for a creative play, the Patriots doing things that people aren't used to. Splitting out Gronkowski. Okay, if you didn't know that was going to come some, you're an idiot. However, Shane Vereen getting split out, and the secondary, granted, the Ravens secondary, not all that great, getting confused by it, being unable to cover a running back in pass coverage, and then failing to make the tackle in a timely manner. Okay, you can claim that that's not a coaching, that's something we can, that coaching caused, I'll put it that way. But the fact that the guy's out there is a stratagem that was drawn up. And I mean, you know, hey, I'm gonna give Belichick his credit here, because all I was hearing about throughout the season is the decline of 2 people who obviously failed to show that they're declining, Brady and Belichick. You know, as much as I'm not really a Patriot guy, I don't drink the Kool-Aid like a lot of people. It came down to that. What was the Ravens' response, coaching-wise? Goal line play. I think this was how the Patriots got their first touchdown. Goal line play. You take your elite-level defensive line and defensive front and shift them to the right. Now, if you do that, Chris, what's probably going
to
happen?
You're going to audible to go to the left.
That's a very good response as well. That ain't even what happened. Brady go ahead and snaps the ball. He didn't seem to make a call for an audible, and the gaping hole that eventually appeared eventually ran it in himself. Now, I know everybody's like, oh, Tom Brady's so great. Oh. Look, I could have made it through this hole, all right? And I'm 300 pounds, fat and slow, okay? Actually, 300 pounds kind of implies fat, I guess. But the point is this. It's creative versus stupid. It's that simple. I mean, I don't know. You know, and the question I have, you know, I say all this about Joe the Foul Flacco. We all know he's not my favorite quarterback. I don't know, Weasel, you broke the game down. Do you think this was Flacco's fault?
Well, I want to put it on Flacco. I mean, the guy, he did throw those two interceptions at the end. Mm-hmm. They, it was just, you know, clock was running out.
Right, exactly.
And otherwise, I think the thing about the guy is that I think I'll look it up, but his playoff numbers in his career are pretty good.
Those are the only two interceptions he's thrown in a playoff right, game. You don't have to look it up. I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he's the best quarterback in
I
playoff history.
I think he's up to
17
touchdowns right. And two interceptions.
Right.
I'll give the kid his credit. Granted, he's riding in the back of a limo and being chauffeured by an awesome team, but he does have a good playoff rating. He didn't even deserve the Super Bowl MVP. That was Jacoby Jones, and I will continue to say it as long as people listen, even if it's just my mom. But I'm kidding. But, you know, I wouldn't put it on Flacco either. Yeah, either, Weasel. I agree with that. That last interception he had to end the game, I didn't like that choice per se. I felt like I liked the choice. He missed the throw. That's what I saw. The first interception, okay. I'll give you one. Sure. You know. Hell, Brady threw a pick. You know, granted, no one's talking about it, but Brady did throw a pick, and I'm not getting on his case for it. For the Ravens, I think where they screwed up is their approach to Gronkowski. They got, well, who do they have at linebacker, Chris? It's a guy you cited very particularly in your Rookie of the Year awards.
C.J. Mosley.
And you mentioned him being a strong prowess in doing what specifically?
Pass coverage.
Pass coverage. I'll be damned. I only really saw a couple times where Mosley was on him. One time he stopped Gronk, one time he didn't, but at least made the play. But I only really saw that happen. What? No, I'll give credit. Darryl Smith made the interception when Brady tried to throw to Gronk one time. And granted, that was more on Brady than Gronk or the coverage, but I don't know. For my money, the Pats deserve to win that game. And I find it kind of shocking it was that close. And the fact it was that close, even despite a 1-for-9 on third down, two picks thrown by the quarterback, and a relatively poor performance by the defensive front, that's a coaching fail. I'm sorry. John Harbaugh, you're on notice, damn it. Anyways, I don't know. Crazy? Anybody else? No. Okay, so with that, we're going to go ahead and go on break. We'll be back. In about 30 seconds, you're listening to the Student of the Game on NGSC Sports. You know, I don't know about you cats, But for me, that song does more to like tell me about playoff mood. It sets me in the playoff mood more than anything else. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of stuff on the Autumn Thunder CD. That's a good time. But the Equalizer, that's right. That's what it's called, for those who don't know. I mean, you know, we do the roundup for study hall, but that's more fun and silly. And we talk about how Weasel tries to achieve double digits, or, you know, how awesome I am. Not spoiler. So I don't know. Anyways, Equalizer is awesome. Of course, you're listening to us here on the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game. Here with me, the awesome, the real American hero, the fireman himself, Chris Rankin aboard. Chris, good times all the way around. We'll get to you in a minute to talk up Panthers and Seahawks. But whenever I'm doing the show ID, I got to bring in the spiciest intro in sports. Weasel Weez!
Yeah, boy!
That's gold. Are we talking about the Olympics? Because that's gold. Ha! Anyways, speaking of something that wasn't very golden, yeah, Panthers, Seahawks. Go, Chris.
The Seahawks defense was too much for Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers as the Seahawks forced three turnovers. One of them was a 90-yard pick six by Cam Chancellor in the fourth quarter to send the Seahawks to the conference championship with a 31-17 win.
Quickly, I know you just brought that up in your intro, but Weasel, you remember the Seahawks and the Packers game? Where Matt Hasselbeck comes out at the coin toss, we're going to get the ball, and we're going to score.
I remember that, yes.
I find a certain irony that Cam Chancellor picked that off. I know it wasn't overtime or any of that, but it looked very similar in, as far as the play being run. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that.
Okay, I see what you're saying there.
You saw that? Okay. Yeah. I knew you'd understand, mm-hmm. and I needed the support group that is our listeners as I talked to you about this.
Hello, my name is Kyle Nash, and I'm a footballholic. I don't know. Anyways, Chris, go.
Cam Newton was 22 for 36, 246 yards with two touchdowns, two interceptions, and that fumble. The fumble was credited to him. It was kind of like a handoff between him and Jonathan Stewart. He tried pulling the ball back on like an option read. Yeah, it didn't work.
I think that's a win for the entire line. We got it all covered. Just pick one.
Russell Wilson was 15 for 22, 268 yards with three touchdowns. No turnovers for him.
Wait a minute. Russell Wilson with no turnovers? The hell you say?
There's been talk, I think, for the past week or so that the Seahawks are going to make him the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL.
I hope for the Seahawks' sake that that's not true. We'll get to that later. Chris?
Yeah, Jonathan Stewart had the most rushing yards for the day. 13 carries, 70 yards. Marshawn Lynch only had 14 for 59. Through there, Kelvin Benjamin, 7 for 75 with two touchdowns. For the Seahawks, Jermaine Kearse had 3 for 129 yards with a touchdown. The touchdown coming from a 63-yarder. And you could say that he pushed off on him on the defender a little bit, but
it's
one of the ones I said before. If you initiate contact, it's got to go, you know. I usually say with the receiver, if he initiates contact, this time the defender initiated. He just knocked the guy's hand off. I wouldn't have called it.
And we said it before the show, we looked at it. I felt like the defender's quote-unquote contact was minimal. But it's one of those, I mean, I think whether or not I would have called it depends on my mood. And I was watching the game last night, and when I first saw it, I'm like, yeah, you got to throw that. Then I watched it again with you here, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe. It was close enough, and let's just say there were much worse calls made by the officials over this weekend. More on that later.
All right. And then tight end Luke Wilson doing his best Jason Witten impression. 4 catches, 68 yards with a touchdown. 3 out of his 4 catches were on third down to extend the drive.
Did you just say doing his best Jason Witten impression?
Yes, that's funny. So even though the Panthers had 8 more minutes of possession, 5 more first downs, and 16 more plays than the Seahawks, it comes down to ball control as the Panthers turned the ball over, like I said earlier, 3 times to the Seahawks, nothing.
That's a lot of controlling of one's balls, I'm just saying. You agree, Weasel?
Yeah.
So Seahawks again to the conference championship.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, anybody shocked by that? I'm not. I mean,
not in this game. No.
I mean, I guess technically speaking, I shouldn't be shocked. I called it back in September, but you know, I think you said it best, especially with this game. So I don't know. But Chris, let me ask this question. It's burning on the minds of many, and I'm very curious to see what you actually say. The Seahawks defense, obviously, the feature of this crowd. If you're a coach, if you're prepping to play the Seahawks, and let's just say, for the sake of the argument, you're the Packers, what do you do? What's your game plan?
What you do is you go back to the, what, they have four losses this year?
Yeah.
At the Seahawks, four losses. You go, you throw out this Rams game because, I mean, that was just off the trick
plays.
Special
teams, yeah, special right. teams trickery.
So, but, I mean, you look at the Cowboys game, how the Cowboys beat them. If you look at it, a lot of these is big receivers is what getting them. I mean, yeah, they have big corners, but you get big receivers like Kevin Benjamin, two touchdowns here. Didn't he make them look stupid earlier in the year as well, Kelvin Benjamin?
Yo, I mean, Kelvin Benjamin made a lot of people look stupid.
Right, but I'm just saying the Seahawks defense earlier when they played them earlier in the season.
He kind of did, actually. He did.
Yeah. Dez Bryant,
yeah.
You know, got over it. So you need that type of receiver on there. You need a physical receiver.
Well, wait a minute. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb.
Devontae Adams, yeah, no, they don't have anyone. The only one it would be Quarles with their tight end. But
yeah, no thanks.
Right. So, but I mean,
problem one for the pack.
Right. So, so if you have that, but then also you need like a balanced attack, which the pack do have. They have the running back with Eddie Lacy,
right?
And you know they do have Aaron Rodgers, and they do have all those receivers.
And I'll grant, without Rodgers' mobility, he's less of a player, but he's still a reliable option. Let's be clear, you know. I think Rodgers is certainly a good choice still, even hurt. I'm not going to go as bold as say he proved it beyond a doubt in his game, but we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I mean the balance I think is the hugest thing. You have to put yourself in a position to where your receivers have time to make moves. Their defensive front is good enough to prevent that. And should they actually, first of all, should you actually find yourself in a position to quote unquote beat a member of the Seahawks secondary, you're already, you know, looking good anyway in the first place. Then that's assuming the Seahawks front doesn't get in there so fast that you can't see it anyway. Right.
Something I noticed during the game was that, Cam Newton was throwing a lot of, I think there was like a 10-yard comeback or a 5-10-yard curl and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that as the receivers were running, the ball kind of should be there right when they turn around, usually. But it must have been at least like three or four in the same drive where the players do their curl and they're waiting for the football. They're sitting there with their hands waiting for the football. It got about three completions doing that. And yeah, the Chancellor just, all he did was cut over in front of one of the wide receivers and
boom,
just took it 90 yards. Yeah.
Moreover, so. Richard Sherman dropped the pick in the very similar fashion that you mentioned. That's a good point. You need precision in your passing and timing. I that's a good point, Weasel. That's strong.
It,
I like
it
that.
Just, it was, they were just sitting there. And I don't know if it was
See,
designed like that.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I don't know either. But I'll say this. It's tough to put precision timing into a game with corners and DBs that are that big. Because they can very easily knock receivers off routes. You do that, you throw off time. That's a good point. But it's not like it's exactly easy to achieve timing routes. Mm. I don't know. So, still a challenge at any rate. I like where Chris is going with the balance. But let's put it this way. Jinx of the outcome of Cowboys-Packers, we didn't see the game that would have been better this weekend for Conference Championship Sunday. Which leads me to my next point. Chris, Cowboys. Packers.
Everyone thought it was going to be an ice bowl too, but the temperatures were warmer than they were 24 degrees this time.
Thank God that someone's saying this because the Foxborough game was colder than the alleged ice bowl too. Can we be clear on that, please? Thank you.
And the Packers came from behind to beat the Dallas Cowboys 26-21 to move on to Championship Sunday to take on the Seattle Seahawks. The Packers came out strong as they forced the Cowboys into three and out, and the Packers took their opening drive 10 plays for 60 yards. And it ended with an Andrew Quarles touchdown catch. Drive was led by Packer running back Eddie Lacy, who had 46 of the 60 yards on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, they came out running. I mean, I don't know why that was shocking, but I think they were taking advantage of where the Cowboys would be weak. I mean, Weasel, let's put it this way. You're a Vikings fan, and you're familiar with the NFC North. By the way, pretty certain your wife's going to be campaigning for John Fox to be the coach in Chicago next year, just saying. That aside... If you're watching the Vikings and they're coming out against Rodgers and company with the Packers, how are you expecting the Vikings defense to look?
Sometimes, I mean, the thing about Rodgers is that he usually tears up the Vikings defense. But
the point is you're going to watch for the pass first, right?
Of course. Yeah. And that's why last year picking Eddie Lacy was very good for the team.
Because
it's finally that that offense is kind of finally balanced.
Yeah. So. And the thing that's cool about Eddie Lacy is like the Amon Greens, the Sam Congados, the James Starkses of the world, the Ryan Grants of the world. For the most part, Lacy stayed relatively healthy. You know, that's right. I made a Sam Congado drop. Own it. Liberty University, punk. Yeah. I got nothing. Chris.
And Eddie Lacy finished 19 carries or 101 yards, 5.3 a carry with a touchdown. Neither team looked like they could stop the run also because DeMarco Murray had another 100-yard game. He had 25 carries, 123 yards with a touchdown, but he did lose a fumble on the Cowboys' opening drive of the second half, which would have been a second touchdown for him because there was no one there. Yeah. Julius Peppers diving out to grab the ball to pull it free. Just a save. It was like a touchdown save. I mean, this is like going to be like a 60-yard run.
Can we please be clear? I'll make it really simple for you. Because Julius Peppers, folks.
Right. It was going to be a 60-yard run because the safeties were up and he was gone. That's why he probably let up the ball because he thought he was gone.
And then all of a sudden.
Here comes.
Because Julius Peppers. Right.
And then.
He sprinkled some spice on the football that made it too hot.
You know, after that first drive by the Packers, Aaron Rodgers lost the fumble the very next series as they drove down the field, lost the fumble off of a bad snap, hit him in the chest. He picked it up, and then instead of just trying to throw the ball away, trying to make something happen, got sacked, lost the fumble. After that, the Packers looked sluggish the rest of this first half.
Yeah.
They looked slow.
You had texted me.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, the game's over. The Cowboys are going to win this game. But then Cowboys kicker Dane Bailey missed another field goal. You know, they're like, oh, he's so automatic and everything like that. He missed another one.
Damn it. Stop talking about it. And what's funny is, giving me compliments, you sons of me.
What's funny is he even had a practice shot because they called the whistle and he missed it. And then the next kick, he missed it even more wide right.
Well, in fairness, he did have to move five yards back because it was a false start.
Right. And then he also did get tipped, allegedly.
Well, the point is this, folks. If there's a time for a good false start, it's when your kicker's about to miss a field goal. I think I'll agree with that.
Right.
But you get another shot at it. You can't blow that. I'll grant it was a 50-yard kick. I talk like it's simple. But
he still had the distance.
Yeah.
Plenty of distance. It wasn't like it came up short.
Well, you know, I think if Steve Irvin was still on the planet, he would be giving reports of the mighty Shankopotamus present in Lambeau Field up north in the tundra.
So right after that field goal, the missed field goal, the Packers drove down and kicked the field goal to go up to only go down by 14-10 and a half. So it was like a 6-point swing right there.
Mm.
Tony Romo was 15 for 19, 79%, 191 yards with two touchdowns. He was sacked four times. He only attempted 19 passes in this game.
I mean, that's balance, if you ask me. Right. That isn't the stat that disturbs me from the Cowboys, and I'll leave that at that.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was 24 for 35, 69%.
Oh, right.
316 yards with three touchdowns with that lost fumble. Second half, most of those incompletions came in the first half, because second half Aaron Rodgers looked a lot better.
Yeah.
But you can still see he was bothered by his calf injury. Jason Witten had six catches for 71 yards. Randall Cobb for the Packers had eight for 116. Terrence Williams for the Cowboys had a 38-yard touchdown catch, which was sloppy tackling by the Packers defense.
Oh, yeah.
Tremont Williams completely missed it.
Well, Tremont Williams wasn't even the worst tackler or coverage man on the day. Sterling Mason getting owned by Davante Adams on the day. Look, I'll give Davante Adams credit as a rookie putting up those numbers, but Sterling Moore made him look like a hero. This was some horrid coverage.
All right. See, Dez Bryant was 3 for 38, but as some are saying, Aaron Rodgers should be NFL MVP because that's what he had at home this year and everything like that.
Stop it.
You know, MVP of this game was Davante Adams, though. Seven catches, 117 yards with a touchdown. Three of the catches were on third down. The last coming on the last drive is took the ball away from the defender and then ran 26 yards on a third and three.
No. The MVP for his opponent was corner Sterling Mason. Nah. All right? Trying to tell you.
Yeah, Davante Adams had some great catches in that game.
He made a catch or two, I'll grant.
So, but, you know, Dez Bryant, 3 for 38. Should have been more on a fourth down catch that Mike McCarthy challenged the catch, and it was overturned because he said he did not have full possession going to the ground.
Let's touch on this for just a second. First of all, Mike McCarthy has only gotten one challenge correct all year.
And that was it.
And this was it, correct. Now, Everybody here saw the play in question, right?
Yeah.
Does anybody here not think that that was a catch? It's sounding pretty quiet, which means everyone thinks it's a catch. Yes?
I hate the Cowboys and I thought it was a catch.
And guess what? So does Odell Beckham. Boom. Okay. There you go. Watch Twitter. It was there if you hadn't heard about it yet. All right. Now, 5 years ago. 5 years ago.
Don't double it as this.
I'm not. They are. Good.
Good. They are. I know I heard that because I thought that was ridiculous. This is nowhere even close to that catch.
Yeah, actually, this one is a far worse call. By far.
No, I think the other one.
Well, okay. Let's put it this way. We don't have to agree on that.
Flip the ball out of your hand.
Yeah, when you celebrate. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, Piera, that...
I hate that guy.
Thank you, Weasel. See, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Between David Moss, a local car seller who has a lot of annoying commercials, and Mike Piera, Weasel is not a happy camper. Yeah, boy. But, yeah. So, he compared it to the Calvin Johnson catch. Yeah, and they're both catches, and the rule is wrong. But for those people out there, first of all, for those people out there who are Lions fans trying to tell me, oh, karma's a bitch, oh, poetic justice. Hey, you guys had a player that should have been suspended on the field. You guys got away with three bad calls, and the difference is the Cowboys just decided to score. I'm sorry the officials picked that flag up. You should feel screwed. You lost there, okay? Now, you want to come to me, maybe Sterling Mason shouldn't have been playing in the game, and maybe that's the Cowboys' fault? I'll grant you that. Here's where I'm at with this call. And tell me where I'm getting it wrong, if I am, in your opinion. Dez Bryant makes... First of all, that was a stupid catch. I'm just saying. And I'm not saying...
Stupid good.
Stupid good. Thank you, Weasel. I was stupefied by how good it was. How about that? You like that better? Okay, that'll work. I don't even know what man means anymore. You use it all the time. Anyways, so I was stupefied by this catch. It was just awesome. Then he comes down with it, realizes he takes three steps, right? And I'm not just making... There's three steps. Right? Okay. Now, I thought it was two for a football move. But what do I know? I'm just a fan, right? I'm not.
They actually moved it to three. It's a football move. Yeah.
Two and a half.
Kind of two
than a football move, yeah. But
okay, but so we definitely have three steps. That's more than two and a half. Let me check my math. Yes, I'm right. Then he kind of tries to extend his hand out. Granted, I mean, I'm using my hands to talk here on the mic. He doesn't stretch it, but he does extend his hand to try to get to the end zone. That's there. I see that in this replay. These morons didn't. I don't know why. I question whether any of them have played football, hell, seen a football at this point. As he's coming down, after making his three steps and a football move, he lands, and it should be over there. But as he rolls, the ball pops up back in the air, and he retains control of it. They're claiming that it wasn't complete through the process of the catch. I don't know what the hell the expletive deleted process is. Like, guys, I got to be honest. This is, as a fan, this is cheesing me off where I'm having to very just intentionally think of not cursing on the air right now. Weasel.
I think a lot of what the refs, I think, are thinking of is that completing the process, essentially, you got to catch the ball. And when you're going down to the ground, pretty much you have to secure it against your body or somehow so it does not touch the ground or it doesn't...
I hear that. No one's using that. Everyone's trying to tell me he didn't complete a football move.
That was pretty bad because I think he, on his first step, I believe he caught the ball. I think he changed arms. I think he put it to the other arm.
Wait,
the football to the other arm.
I don't know that he did that or not.
No,
but
no, he brought it down to his body.
To his body, and then reached for the end zone, which was technically, I guess, that's a football move.
I'd call it one.
Football move to get the...
To score!
To score the touchdown, yeah.
Hold it. Wait, what's the point? What's the object of the game in football? John Madden, anybody?
To score more points.
Well, actually, it's to win the game. But right, to score more points than the other team. And since Dez Bryant can't kick the ball...
He might be able to.
Right in that moment, he's going to have to stretch for it. Weasel.
So... pretty much what I was thinking about for this play is that a lot of times there's a pass to a wide receiver or a tight end right up the middle.
Right.
Catches the ball.
Yep.
Has two steps.
Right.
1-2, and then immediately gets hit by a defender.
Right.
Causes a fumble. That's a catch. It's a fumble, and the defense recovers.
So you tweeted about this
but
earlier.
But yeah.
Yes.
It's just the thing about it is that when you're in the middle of the food, you put two steps down with possession of the ball. It's just this whole thing of completing the process.
Going down to the ground. That's the whole thing is going down to the ground.
Hey, and which is it?
And it's,
which is
but
it?
No, that's what I said. It's
but there's a difference. Some people say
they say it's going down on the ground, but they don't look at the whole process of, I still think it should be 2 feet in. You have 2 feet down.
2 feet, hold the ball.
Hold the ball, then you go down the ground, whatever. You know, you don't have
to. Well, he definitely did that. Right.
And another problem with it was that, so Des Bryant made the acrobatic catch over the receiver.
The
he was falling.
Catch.
And the,
I just spat on
the Packers
screen.
Defender,
awesome.
the cornerback,
yeah.
He touched him sometime during that play.
That's correct.
So
there was contact.
There was contact so that Des Bryant would go down. And but I think what the officials, they didn't care about was that I think his knee was down and his other arm, I think his elbow was, I think he was trying to break his fall. That was down also. He dives and then the ball comes out.
In the process of diving, he's reaching the ball out. And granted, it's not a full extension, but, you know, he's in there, you know, keeping control.
He kept control. Yeah, it was no like juggling or anything like that.
See, and here's the part I love. There was an analyst, Howie Long, talking to somebody, saying, well, what about the three steps he took or whatever? The person in question said, no, ignore the three steps. Even though we just cited they're in the MFing rule.
Right.
That person who said, forget about the three steps, guess who, Weasel?
Zapiera.
Your favorite guy.
Yeah. I'll let... There's a
should we mail him a bag of poo next Christmas? Is that
a lot of times I think if you want to make a point, is you gotta kind of exaggerate it a little bit. Like people say, yeah, he could take 20 steps stumbling to the ground, and then if he hits the ground without, you know, holding onto the football, it's an incomplete pass.
If that's really the way the rule is written, the rule is and has been wrong for at least 5 years and probably a little longer, because this goes all the way back to the Riedel Anthony catch in Rams. Bucks in the conference championship Sunday that year.
And when you have one of these exaggerations, there was
that's more than 10 years.
When the Steelers played the Colts in I think it was an AFC championship game, I believe it was like 6-7 years ago. Polamalu intercepted a pass.
Oh, let's not even bring that one.
All I'll say is that
ball didn't even touch the ground there. He
rolled over about 2 times, holding the ball, not touching the ground. He gets up. The football hits his knee and goes to the ground.
Yeah.
So the refs call it an incomplete pass because he didn't make a football move.
Even though he rolled twice.
Exaggerated.
I got to try to eat dinner tonight after this. I wish you hadn't brought that up.
It's like exaggerating would be rolling 8 times and having it being incomplete. So
enough about that. Anyways, heck. I'm already cheesed off, and now we're going to go to this next game that I'm already unhappy about people being stupid with, too.
Just a catch should be a catch if you make it like in the middle of the field, if you make it in the end zone. You can't have certain ones.
It's at the point now where I think a catch being a judgment call is better than trying to go by these rules because they suck. There's nothing short of it.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're running pretty late. Freaking Colts Broncos, damn it.
All right, so... The Colts on the road pulled off an upset as they cruised past the Broncos 24-13. Andrew Luck was 27-43, 265 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. An important thing to say was that he was not sacked.
That's an excellent point.
Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning, 26-46, 211 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs, sacked twice, and he did start the game well, 3-for-3, 36 yards, and a touchdown. After that drive, he was 23-43 for 175 yards. And there were some, like, deep passes, especially to Emmanuel Sanders
right.
Deep, where he overthrew him. And so...
Now, he and Emmanuel Sanders were not in sync. But the thing that stat won't tell you about were numerous drops that Demaryius Thomas had.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everyone's going to blame everything on Peyton Manning. But
there was three.
There were three
for Demaryius Thomas.
It was kind of questionable with Manning because in the third quarter on a 3rd-and-5... He was rolling out to the right, and he had the next defender that was close to him was 20 yards downfield, literally. So he looked at it. I guess he was thinking about running, and then he decides to throw a 20-yard pass or something into double coverage that went incomplete. And hindsight says that the guy could have took, like, 10 steps and had an easy first down and then slid. And but he threw the pass, and it was like
you got to remember, this is Peyton Manning. Even though the guy is 20 yards downfield, he can cover 5 yards to Peyton Manning's one.
But wait, it's nothing like that. It's the hero of the modern age. It's Captain Hindsight.
Yeah.
And Hindsight, if he had made this run, they would have been pissed he didn't hit him with the throw, because if they went three and out on that and they do it, we're out of field goal range or something, it still would have been Peyton Manning's friggin' fault. Here's what else I know. This pass that he did throw hit the receiver in the hands. The receiver couldn't finish the job on his end. If he does that, we're not even talking about this. Weasel, I'm not intense at you, because I kind of thought he should have run it too, but the play was made by Peyton Manning. The receiver didn't finish the job. Why in the hell is this a Peyton Manning faux pas?
It was just one of those things. In the championship game, I believe, of 2009, the NFC Championship, the Vikings with Favre versus the Saints. You had
what?
You had Favre roll out. It was to set up the game-winning field goal. And instead of running 5 yards or so, or get some extra yardage for a field goal that's closer at the end of a game to be the game winner, he threw it, intercepted, and it ended up going into overtime, and the Vikings lost.
What the hell? Okay.
So hindsight is a big thing, but it's kind of like...
I have nothing to see. This was not a bad decision where he was throwing across the body and doing something that Brett Favre does in his career for all three of the teams he played for. This was not that play. This was not a bad decision. He completed the play. The receiver screwed up. That is not comparable, Weasel. I'm sorry. You know, Brett Favre was stupid. There's no other way there.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning opted to take what was going to be a better play, and if some rumors that we hear are true, we'll get into that later, we're correct. Then I mean, dude, 39-year-old, 4 neck surgeries, still gets that throw off, but he's wrong. He still hits his target, but the wide receiver screws up, but he's wrong. There are too many people drinking that Kool-Aid. Weasel.
Okay, yeah. It's, to, you know, get going. The Colts running back Daniel Heron had 23 carries for 63 yards and a touchdown, and Broncos running back C.J. Anderson.
Yes.
I think looks like they got a talented running back there, and I think he's great for the team. He had 18 rushes for 80 yards, and he did two interesting things in like a couple minutes span. So with 1:20 remaining in the third quarter, C.J. Anderson, the guy's 5'8", he kept teammate Orlando Franklin, who's 6'7", from getting into a fight, and it definitely would have brought some flags.
I think you're right.
And so you have this little guy, you know, pulling him back, and so that right there may have saved the penalty, and they ended up getting a field goal due to a pretty crazy play. You have 36 seconds left in the third. He ran a 4th-and-1. They were going for a 4th-and-1, and his run should have been, the guy tackled him backfield. He was at 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. That play should have been over, turnover. But he broke one tackle there, and then he was running towards the first down.
So this was an almost tackle in the backfield.
Two other guys try to do arm tackles, fall short.
I know how much you love arm tackles.
Yeah, well, they fell short, and then you have him completing a 7-yard run instead of a 5-yard loss. And something, if you watch the replay of that play, you'll see that there are at least 2 wide receivers for the Broncos standing around after the handoff was made. They were just standing around, looking around. It was a live play.
Oh, well, that's Peyton Manning's fault.
They could have, they could have been running around, and they could have made some more blocks for the guy.
Yeah.
But literally, they just gave up.
So you asked the question a few weeks back, is C.J. Anderson the real deal? I think Weasel's telling me yes.
Yeah, I think so. And so the Colts, they did get the Broncos got a field goal off of that. So they were only down by 8, 1 possession ball game. A lot of it's due to C.J. Anderson. So you got Colts wide receivers T.Y. Hilton, 4 catches, 72 yards.
Yeah.
Dwayne Allen, 4 for 30 with a touchdown. Hakeem Nicks had a 15-yard touchdown. Demaryius Thomas with some drops. 5 for 59 and a touchdown. Julius Thomas, 6 for 53. So, look, he played pretty aggressively this game.
I'll agree with that.
And in the third quarter, Instead of just grabbing a couple yards on a 3rd and 16 to get a field goal, he passed to down the middle to tight end Kobe Fleener.
Can we be clear? This is probably the single best pass in the playoffs so far. You're about to describe it, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Fleener goes, I would say it looked like mostly like a post route. Ish. And so he's right up the middle of the field. You have defenders who have, I think, one behind him and two in on the outside of him.
That's three. Count them three.
Yeah. And Luck just threw it right in, and where the only the wide receiver could catch it. And, well, the tight end. And he made a big play. And so.
The target. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. And so you got with 1:52 remaining in the game. The Broncos did get the ball back after a touchback from a punt. And with no timeouts, Manning managed to get to the 23-yard line, highlighted by a 24-yard catch, but ran out of time. And something that I and I think pretty much 90% of the business, the news world, didn't know is that Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning, kind of allegedly.
Yeah, there's
you
rumor
don't know,
that it's out there. Yeah.
It's, don't know exactly, but what I've been hearing is that he played this game with a right quad strain injury. Now, he didn't only play this game like that. It didn't just happen. When he played the Chargers...
Oh, I'm getting an ice cream before the game. Oh, shoot!
Yeah. He got Chargers in week 15 on December 14th. That is when the injury occurred. And so he's been playing hobbled. I don't know how to say hobbled, but he's been playing with a...
Limited.
Yeah, he was limited. As you know, running back, the guy's limited there.
Well, he's
anyways,
limited there anyway, right? There
but
you go.
Right quad strain, he played with it ever since week 15. Week 16 against the Bengals, he had 2 touchdowns and 4 INTs. Week 17, no touchdowns, no interceptions against the Raiders. So that's going to be a lot of the talk. It's going to be, did it affect his play? But so there is a chance, though. It's kind of a down note on the career if he ends it like this. But you think Manning, will he see... Well, this season for him, the last couple years, would they be seen as a success or a failure?
My right quad, it hurts so bad. Of course it's seen as a failure, whether it is or not. This dude had 4 neck surgeries. He's cervically fused for all intents and purposes throughout his entire neck and has thrown more than 90 touchdowns in the past 2 seasons combined.
Yep.
And people want to get in his face about retirement. Get the expletive deleted off of me. I almost did it again.
Yeah.
Okay. So. I mean, like, and I'm not. Let me be clear, Weasel. I'm not coming after you here. Okay. You're just asking the question. You're the messenger for the stupid that's out here, which is why we do this show every week. At least in my opinion, this is why I'm here. I don't know why all 2 are here. But
a lot of people have especially in the playoffs, a short-term memory.
Well, yeah, that's true. Because let's look at Tom Brady's record for the past 11 playoff games: 5-6. No one's talking about that.
And a tweet I did earlier today, it was something along the lines of the Patriots, they actually have a chance to win the Super Bowl because the Giants are out of the playoffs.
You know what? You're not the first person I've seen do that, but
I think
you're
it's
right.
Like, it's been, what, like 9 years or so? And he doesn't have a ring.
He has
a ring, but, you know,
he hasn't had one since then, right? And you know. I'm not going to be one of these guys who's trying to say that that Brady isn't good. Brady's good. And if you want to take Brady in the Brady Manning debate, that's fine. I don't hate you. You're not an evil person. But trying to come at me like Manning, I've heard the word, people use the word that Peyton Manning is mediocre. Can anybody else find a scathing response to that? Because all I can think of doing is starting to curse.
Yeah, it's...
Anybody? Can anyone help me? Seriously, I'm struggling right now.
Put Brady on the teams that Manning's been on with the coaching.
You know,
put Manning on
right. The
Patriots, see how many rings Manning would have now.
Well,
compared to.
And I hate that argument, but it's right. But there's 2 things I'm going to say, and then we'll move to do the study hall. Something else that'll make me nice and happy. But, first off, to the point you made, here's the closest simulation we can make with the point with switching up the quarterbacks for the rosters, right? Because I don't think Brady had Austin Colley and couldn't make him famous, for example. You make a good point, Chris. Here's how I put it. Here's the closest thing we have to a simulation of that. And tell me if you think you agree with this. 2008, Brady's out.
Now, I'll grant the Patriots missed the playoffs that year. But they had 11 wins with Matt Castle at the quarterback spot. Did they not?
Yeah, they did. They were 11-5.
When Manning left, what happened? Say 2-14.
Right.
But I want to hear, but Manning's mediocre. I almost did it again.
I always said over there in New England, it's a system.
Well,
that's what it is, a system.
I'll say this. Could Tom Brady throw 90 plus touchdowns in 2 years with four neck surgeries?
No.
I know you'll say no because you're a Giants fan. But
I still say no. You give him that. I still say no.
The thing about it was that his expectations, they're set, very right when he gets with a new team and everything. The expectations of him
were ridiculous.
Agreed. It's pretty much Super Bowl or bust.
And then when he doesn't make it, all the people who were against him and pro Brady or pro Luck or whoever then start hating on Manning, even with all his come on. Stop it.
Yeah.
I mean, at least in the case of getting on to Dan Marino, we could at least say he didn't win a Super Bowl. That didn't happen here. I don't know. It's Raheem Moore's fault for blowing that interception in 2012. Anyways.
Yeah, that was their best chance to win, I think.
Right? I agree with you. Even though I honestly think the Niners would have crushed them, but I'll allow for a homer call there. Wow, this is just a great day for me on this show. All right, make the announcement, Chris.
All right. Last week, Weasel and I were both 3-1. You were 2-2, which officially makes me the winner because I am 4 games up with 3 games left.
Shut up.
And what are the records for playoffs only?
Don't do this. No, look, you're only less than 10 games away. You don't get
We're both 6-2, and Kyle's 5-3.
Yep.
So shut up. Honestly, seriously, and I said it last week when you did. When you picked the Colts, I'm like, I couldn't blame you for doing that.
That was a
good pick.
What I said is I wanted to pick the Colts. I just didn't see it happening because I always try picking the teams that lost during the season because I win it. That was the game right there if I would have picked the Colts.
Mm-hmm. I'd look real smart if I picked the Ravens. I should have been smart, but John Harbaugh coached a crap game. Damn it. Congratulations to Chris. For the first time, I guess this is year 5, I don't have at least to share the damn championship. I guess I should retire. I'm mediocre. Conference Championship Sunday. Chris, walk us through it.
All right, first game, you got the Colts at the Patriots. This game... See, I think the Patriots are going to win it. I'm almost certain I know the Patriots are going to win it. But what I said last week, what hurt me was when the Colts lost to the Broncos earlier in the season. I said, I don't like to go against that.
You did say that.
So I'm going to go against my gut and say what I said before, not against with my gut. I'm going to go with Colts.
See, now that you said that, each game is worth 2 points and I could still win. That's the only reason why you're doing that. It's because I don't
know. No, because I mean.
I'm okay with it.
It hurt me last week.
It did.
And so.
I mean, not
that it's also it doesn't matter, but I mean it also doesn't it also doesn't matter. So I can give you the games, come back, and say, hey, look, I only lost by one. But
hey, Weasel, how's the chant go? It just doesn't matter.
Pretty much.
You know.
So I'm going with Andrew Luck and the Colts right now.
Simply because the way things are going and things are just generally downtrodden. I think Andrew Luck's a good story. The Colts defense came out and played absolutely amazing. I think you said it best.
Vontae Davis was the MVP of the game.
Absolutely. You said it best. Vontae Davis, before the show started, MVP of the game, without question.
He was all over the field.
Yeah, I got nothing better to say. That's great. Now, granted, he did hold and he got called for it, and there were a lot of penalties against the Colts. But on the day, dude was ridiculous. I'm certainly
in that fourth quarter he was everywhere. Wherever that ball was going to be thrown, he was in that.
And let me tell you something else too. While we're on the topic, how many sacks were there of Andrew Luck? I believe you said 0, correct, Weasel? How on earth you get a line that's been in 11 different permutations of starters, different combinations, right? And then you completely shut down Vaughn Miller, DeMarcus Ware, and company from getting a single sack. Yeah, granted, I get it that Luck could run, but this is a big deal.
And those are two of the top 5 sack leaders.
There you go. So here's the thing. The one thing that the Colts will not be able to answer for. Y'all already know it before I say it, don't you?
Gronk.
Gronk. Who is going to stop Gronk? Ain't got C.J. Mosley. I have the Pats simply because that man is ridiculous. Weasel.
The last game that was played between the two teams, week 11, 42-20, New England won, and that was the game where Jonas Gray had four touchdowns. Now,
correct.
The difference is, New England, of course, won that game. This game's in Foxborough, so I pick the Patriots on strength of their offense. And
specifically their balance.
And I just don't think the Indy defense can match what they did last week. Well, this past game.
I'll say this about that. Weasel, you were on the show. Chris, I don't think you were yet. There was a particular year where the Colts were in the playoffs. And every week, I picked against them because their run defense, I didn't think it was good enough. Do you remember when that was?
Their Super Bowl year?
Leading up to the Super Bowl. The only game I picked them to win was over the Bears because the Bears didn't belong there. Every other time, their run defense isn't good enough. Okay, great. Here's the thing. Maybe this is that turned around. I don't think it is, but I see it there. Anyways, Chris.
All right, next, the NFC title game.
Yep.
Yeah, you got the Packers at the Seahawks. Seahawks at home, they're very unbeatable there. But like I said before, Packers lost them week one. I'm going with Packers.
Look, let's be clear about something. We got robbed of the game we should have had this weekend, okay? Not so much from a standpoint of I think the Cowboys are a better team per se, but let's be honest. We think it's a better game if the Cowboys are playing the Seahawks, all of us, right? This game's going to be too damn easy. I don't think the Packers have a chance in hell here. It's going to be a waste of time. I got the freaking Seahawks, Weasel.
By the way,
staying with my prediction back at September 1st on the NFC side of the football, Weasel.
The only thing is Aaron Rodgers, he's been on points for the past couple weeks and stuff. And
he's not bad, certainly.
And the thing about the Seahawks defense, I think they'll be able to control them, and they'll be able to, slow the offense down. So, I will be going for the team I pick is the Seahawks, and just a strength of running game and balanced attack with Russell Wilson.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call their attack balanced. They'll be distracted so much by the run that the receivers will get open, and then it'll become balanced. How they say, use the run to set up the pass as a self-proclaimed point guard does his thing to manage the game. Can't put it any better, Weasel. I dig it. I think we're all aligned on the NFC. Chris is the lone guy with the Colts, but it doesn't matter.
I picked Packers. I went opposite both of you guys.
Yeah.
Wait,
I picked Packers. Just because what I always say, if they will lose in the beginning, if they lose during the season playoffs, they go in the opposite team. No, with that both games there.
I wish that was true back in 2000 when the Jaguars were 14-2 and they played the Titans for a third time and still lost in the AFC Championship game.
Right now, I think in the playoffs at least, I think Chris and I are tied. So there's two games right here that we are differed on.
Playoffs count to regular season stats, so it doesn't matter.
Hey, this is all I got, okay? Come on.
Yeah. Let him cling to his home. We don't want him to quit.
Hey, I'm... Yeah, regardless,
you're
I'll
doing
still be
very well picking playoff games.
Yeah, regardless, I'll still be 10 games over you. Even if I lose this next three, I'll still be 10 games above you for the whole season record.
You know the worst kind of trash talk? The one that hurts your opponents the most? Facts. With that, we'll go ahead and
wrap up. All I'll say is this.
We're already 20 minutes late. Make it quick.
We're already 20 minutes. So what? But
like you coming to the show. Anyway.
And I forgot what I was going to say, too.
Damn it, I want him to hear it now.
My dad. Yeah.
Okay.
Next time.
I'll start to do the outro here, finally. Of course, this is our playoff edition here of the Student of the Game. Check us out on NGSCSports.com. What do you got, Weasel? Get in here.
Patriots. You remember how the fans were like, woohoo, 16-0. Undefeated regular season. Woohoo. And
not
then what happens?
Much.
Yeah.
What is it? 17 games, one giant loss. Anyways, so on that happy note, Patriot fans, all your hate tweets can go to Stephen Weasel Hurley at the SOTG, or excuse me, at Weasel the SOTG.
All one word there. Of course, you can get me on Twitter, Kyle Nash, to the game, at the SOTG. Chris, at Rankin, the SOTG. And then check out NGSCSports.com for the matchup mania this week. Will be a very in-depth look at the two games here. And I'm going to do one for the Pro Bowl again, because, folks, I don't mean to be that guy, but the Pro Bowl is definitely better with this format. Definitely better than a night alone with the cat. I'm just saying. So anyways, until next time, for Steven Weasel Hurley and Chris Rankin, I am Kyle Nash. Assume the game. Class dismissed.